Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We're the challenge we're going to be talking about today with Michael
Cosentino is over here. That's interesting. We do the first name, I'll do the last name. Democratic
Perspective. The challenge we're going to be talking about is the new health care bill passed by the House of Representatives. And hopefully silent Gary LeMaster will be joining us from Minnesota later on. Mike and I were talking before the show, and I said, you know, this is the most incoherent, crazy hatchet job bill I've ever seen. I mean, it, you know, the original Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, they now call it, took months of argumenting and discussion, but they were actually trying to fashion a bill that worked. And it took all kinds of compromises. It took these long pleas for Republicans to come on board, Republicans pretending to maybe they would support it and they're not doing it. Long months and months we had to listen to this process of doing the bill. The new Republican version is not only has it been secretive, but more to the point, I don't see any motivation, Mike, to actually produce a good bill. It's all politics all the time.
There was a great headline in USA Today. Republicans won, Americans zero when it comes to health care. The subhead was the GOP passed a bill that does the opposite. The Republicans passed a bill that does the opposite of what the American people need and what Trump promised. Right. So this bill does the it's not just a bad bill that they didn't wait for the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office to score. They didn't wait for lots of things. They did get all their donations from Big Pharma and made sure they got those. So they didn't wait to make sure that pre-existing conditions were covered. There were so many popular things in Obamacare that they didn't wait to deal with.
And the lies are so astonishing. Mike, we had Tom Price on the Sunday talk shows, and he said that absolutely no one would lose Medicaid coverage. It's just a complete lie.
A complete lie. And that's what they're doing now. They're distancing themselves from their own vote. This level of insanity is difficult. So what could the difference between the politics of a nation, of the country, the difference between Republican politics and what the American people wanted is so different. And then they celebrated. I want to read here at some point in the next 45 minutes how these people celebrated taking away health care, celebrated the deaths. And you got Republican congressmen saying, no, nobody dies from lack of health care. And it's their own offices have documented that prior to Obamacare, the 18,000 people, the Americans that died every year for lack of health care, the 680 Arizonans that died every year for lack of health care. Arizona's a small number because we have lots of military and ex-military in the state, and they get health coverage.
We have Tom Price claiming that they can cut $800 million from Medicaid, and that no one will be forced off the program. We have a series of just bold-faced lies. I mean, you could, you know, lie number one, lie number two. I'm astonished, even though we've been in the Trump area for about 100 days now, and we had the campaign before that. But good Lord, I mean, this is amazing.
All right, so one of the things we're going to try to do for you this morning on Democratic Perspective is, besides be outraged and unbelievable, is talk about the comparison between Obamacare and Trump care. And one of the things, and we're going to call it Trump care because remember Obamacare expanded what Steve was just talking about. Obamacare, and this is where people I know and love came in, expanded Medicaid to lots and lots of folks in the states.
Medicaid is the program for low-income folks.
And don't forget, in Arizona, if you were a single man, you were a single woman, you didn't get health care through Medicaid, through Access, because and Obamacare, because they wouldn't cover it as far as the state of Arizona is concerned. But when Obamacare funded it, then they included single men, single women, and other categories.
And they increased the amount of money you can make to 138% of the poverty line.
What Price,
which is still basically, I don't know, it's about $16,000-$17,000 a year. It's still not, you can't make a lot of money.
Trumpcare won't cut federal funding for Medicaid until 2020. So what he may have been saying on that talk show was that
well, what it does in
nobody's 20, going to be immediately kicked off.
What it does in 2020 is they won't let anybody come on. It's going to cut Medicaid spending by $800 million before that in a very complex way. So it's a lot of sleight of hand. In other words, they can say literally nobody's going to be cut off Medicaid, but we're going to give the states block grants of a certain amount of money and let them spend it as they wish. They won't be able to expand. So if you didn't expand Medicaid when there was a chance, you won't be able to do it in the future. So there's a whole series of what it is you can say we're not cutting anybody directly off of Medicaid who's on it now, but they are, because if you're on Medicaid and you get a job and you make over the 138% of poverty, then what happens is after 63 days, you lose your Medicaid insurance and you can't get it back. And in 2020, new people can't come back on. And there's no really guarantee of the way that the money is going to be distributed. Right now, Medicaid pays for whatever the procedure is at a certain defined rate. This is going to be baskets of money which can be limited. And so it's not a guarantee that they'll pay as much. I mean, the astonishing thing is, I think, I don't know if it was Price or somebody else said, well, look, a lot of doctors are not taking Medicaid money now because it doesn't pay that much. And the astonishing thing is you cut $800 million from the program. Like, more people are going to take it, more doctors, more hospitals. It's the big lie squared. I'm just astonished, Mike, by the whole process.
Here are some of the things from USA Today in the comparison. Obamacare mandates that all insurance plans cover certain health conditions and services such as annual physical exams, prescription drug costs, mental health counseling, and women's health services. Trumpcare enables states to waive all those requirements set forth in the ACA. And that's some of what Steve was just talking about. We just talked about the pre-existing conditions. Obamacare prevents health insurers from denying coverage or charging more to individuals who have pre-existing medical conditions such as asthma or heart disease. This is a tough one. Trumpcare allows states to waive rules that currently stop insurers from charging new customers more because of their medical history. States can opt out of the ACA requirements if they set up high-risk insurance plans known as high-risk pools.
Okay, let's talk about
the crap out of doctors.
So there's low-risk pools and there's general risk. Right now, Affordable Care Act, everybody's sort of in the same boat with the insurance in the sense of how the coverage is fundamentally structured. High-risk pools means that people who are of high risk have to buy insurance separately from everybody else. This will lower the cost on young people who are in perfectly good health buying insurance. But it means that older people or people who have a pre-existing condition, people who are sick, will have to pay much higher premiums. It looks like hundreds of thousands, if not like millions of people, will not be able to afford to go into high-risk pools. Trying to think of an example, but, you know, if you build your house on one of these spits of land, you know, you go into a high-risk pool, so if the ocean comes up and floods it, you go out. Whether we should subsidize that is another question, but the point is that high-risk pools are going to be extraordinarily expensive. This is going to raise the price. for older people, for sick people, for anybody who gets a problem. Mike?
Yeah, no, that amazes me. By the way, one thing that won't change is the 26-year-old thing. One of the real popular parts of Obamacare was that you can cover your children until they're 26.
A big deal. Save people millions of bucks.
Right. I believe that's not going to change.
It's not going to change. They didn't mess with that.
And the other big deal is lifetime caps are coming back on what insurance companies will pay. Heart transplants cost between $1 and $6 million. Lifetime caps could eliminate lots of those procedures.
When I was working, we got a constant flood of these faxes and emails offering inexpensive insurance. And the guys would show it to me and say, well, what's the deal with this? It's only $65 a month or something. And I'd say, look at the cap on this. Look at the per illness cap. Look at the per year cap. Look right. at the per lifetime cap. It's fine if you don't ever get sick, really seriously sick. But the minute you get really seriously sick, you're going to go right through the cap, and you're not going to have insurance to cover you.
And all the plans without caps were expensive. So Andy Slavitt in USA Today said, sometimes the political forces just outweigh the real-world consequences. The fact that the majority party, in this case, the Republicans, cast a party-line vote should surprise no one. What's more notable was the closeness of the vote, 217 to 213. There's, 243 Republicans in the House. They all didn't vote for it, but it certainly was along party lines. No Democrat, let me say again, no Democrat in the House of Representatives of the United States voted for this bill.
That's the good point, Mike.
That's the good point. That's how bad it is.
This was passed so they could say they passed something. And the additions and changes, folks, don't change the fundamentals. They make it more complicated. What they're trying to do is be able to say, no one is being thrown off Medicaid. That's literally true if you mean, there's at a date certain, nobody's going to be thrown off. It's not true if you get above Medicaid cap in terms of spending, and it's not true after 2020 you won't be able to come on the expanded program. So it's all this fudging and all this trickery, and I mean, really, to go and advocate, I mean, Price is basically saying, look, we can come cut $800 million from the program, and it'll be so efficient because the states will decide. Think about the Arizona state government deciding these things. That will recover the $800 million. It'll cost the same amount of money. It's ridiculous.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the games here. The political reality, internal GOP politics, were too strong for the It doesn't matter how many Americans, it doesn't matter how many respected medical associations and organizations opposed the bill, and fiscal organizations said, no, don't do it. They did it anyway. And these games matter in the real world. First, I want to talk about Lindsey Graham said, for a bill that would affect virtually every American as it becomes law, the sponsors knew well that exposure to details, including a Congressional Budget Office score, or its cost of the consequences would not help its cause. So in the few hours between finalizing the bill, the text of the bill, and the release of what was passed, the things that are coming out now, the things that you're seeing all over the internet, the domestic violence being uncovered, the special education clause that somehow kids with disabilities are going to have a greater liability, employer-based coverage is going to change. All of these things now are being figured out. All of these things are being bandied about the internet. And like you said, the Republicans are lying about them because that's what they do.
I'm sorry. That's really what's going on. So there are great new reforms, and there's something called health savings accounts, which not too many people take advantage of because you have to have a considerable amount of money. So the reform is taking the limit that you can put in a health savings account, taking it from about $6,500 to $13,100. I mean, how many people and how many families can afford to put away $13,000 a year in some kind of health savings account? It will only affect wealthy folks. It only cuts the tax on the wealthy. The other thing is, this is supposed to, the ACA, for all the talk, was basically revenue neutral because it raised taxes on the upper income earners, not their basic tax, not your salary, but if you made more than $200,000 as an individual, $250,000, it raised the tax on your investment income.
Right.
Just your investment income by a big 3.8%.
Right.
But that turns out to be a lot of money. And they also, the ACA taxed our overpriced little medical devices. It attacks tanning salons, which we end up paying for people's skin cancer. And I could go on and on, Mike.
Warren Buffett said it's going to save him $17 million, and he would much rather see people have health care than him have $17 million. And aren't we proud of Republican Martha McSally from Arizona, from down south, that stood up during the meeting and told her colleagues, let's get this effing thing done, while she voted to take away the health care of hundreds, if not thousands, of Arizonans.
It's, you know, we're more enraged and talking less about facts than we're combining them today. But we have our fact man on the line.
Oh, the
Gary LeMaster.
Oh, is he fresh from the pep rally? Did you go to the pep rally celebrating the end of the Obamacare?
Oh, I did.
Are you there?
I was trying to get to my congressman's office. We have a congressman, Mike Gosar, who doesn't even live in our district, and he has an office. It's not really. It's on the very edge of our district, so it's a trek to even get there. But a number of people did show up. So you guys are doing a fine job of describing what's going on.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, it's I don't know. Like I said, our outrage. They're trying to keep calm here, but not being very successful. You know, I think of all the Republican talk radio things I've listened to, or at least passed by once in a while, and I hear them crying, I hear them screaming, I hear them calling liberals names. Ann Coulter wants us all to die because we want health care for children and old people and young people and people in between and people like me and you. We just want to be the wealthiest nation in the world and be able to have what is Bernie Sanders calls and Mike Cosentino calls and Steve Williamson calls a human right. Health care in a nation as wealthy as this is a right, just like food, clothing, and shelter.
Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that you don't pay for it, but it the way the system works now, and we have Donald Trump saying, Australia has a better healthcare system than the U.S. Well, yeah, pretty much everybody does. Maybe not better doctors, but a better and less expensive way of doing medicine. So what's happening in Minnesota?
The state is sort of teetering on going red. The legislature is controlled by Republicans, and our great Democratic governor is term limited out after this. So the next year we'll have a new governor. So who knows? It could go the way of the Trumpsters. I was going to point out a couple of things that I don't remember you mentioning on Trump Care is that how it affects the VA. There are currently 9 million vets enrolled in VA health care, and yet there are 7 million that have not yet enrolled. And so the kind of a weird little aspect of Trump Care is that it could prevent those 7 million veterans from getting coverage. And on top of that,
coverage under the new program, Gary, or coverage from the VA? I mean, it will force them to get VA coverage rather than the new
coverage. It could prevent them from getting any coverage, getting VA coverage.
Yeah, not every veteran gets VA coverage. That's really right. Important, and the Veterans Administration will be happy to tell you that. You meet certain qualifications in order for the VA to give you coverage.
And this is only partially related. Trump has put a hiring freeze in place on the VA, which has already created longer wait times for the 9 million vets that are already enrolled. After all that outrage of a couple of years ago, it seems we're headed back in that direction. Another thing I'd point out is how it affects Medicare. Trump Care would cut the additional payroll tax on high-income earners. There's a 0.9% payroll tax on those making more than $250,000. That little bit will actually cut the Medicare solvency by 4 years, which also will leave the door open for voucherizing Medicare. So those of us on Medicare should be highly concerned about this stupid bill as well.
Because what they're doing with this, Gary, is what they want to do with Medicaid to make it vary greatly by state. That's going to fracture the country even more. And also, they want to do these caps on the amount of spending and baskets of money, which they can then, suppose there's not enough money to go around, which there won't be, but suppose that happens, and then they'll want to move that to Medicare as well, right?
Right. And as you pointed out, the biggest impact on this is on people with pre-existing conditions and on people in Medicaid. If I could add a little bit to the pre-existing conditions, but before Obamacare, when I started my business, we had 8 employees, and we were too small to be allowed to get group coverage. So we wanted to offer health care for our employees and their families. The oldest of us was 42, and out of all of the 8 people in all of our families, there wasn't a single person without a pre-existing condition. So when you talk about pre-existing conditions, that affects almost everyone.
It does affect almost everyone. Some of the clear statistics are that, Obamacare insured 24 million people that were formerly uninsured. They're estimating now that by 2026, there's probably another 26 million Americans that don't have health insurance. Obamacare insured 24 million. There's probably another 26 million that don't. By 2026, there's going to be 56 million people in the United States without health insurance because of this abomination of this isn't healthcare. This, one of the things we're talking about this morning, and this is obviously you can hear in the tone in my voice. I don't want to talk about this. This is talking about insurance, for God's sakes. This was a yawn. The show started at 8:15. At 8:17, I could hear dials clicking all over the Verde Valley because we're talking about insurance. This is something people don't want to think about, let alone talk about. This is not a lively topic for anything. Yet we're talking about people's life and death and health care, and that has been, at least for those people that had it, like you said, Medicare, for all its ills, you went to the doctor, you got care. Obamacare, for all its problems, you went to the doctor, you got cared for. This doesn't seem to be what's going to happen here for lots and lots and lots of folks.
I think we've gone into the details some, but to some extent they want us to get lost in the detail. So, for example, subsidies under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, the subsidies go up to make $48,000 a year. Now, under the new Trump Care, the subsidies goes up to $150,000 a year. The young will pay less. People who don't want to insure it won't be fined. Originally, when Obama ran, his health care plan didn't force people to pay a fine if they had insurance. But when they did the money so that it would be pretty much neutral on the deficit, they found they had to kind of require people to do it, because otherwise they wouldn't get a large enough care. So one of the arguments I think, Mike, we should talk about is the way insurance works. The way insurance works is that you have millions of healthy people paying in to support people who are not healthy and need medical help. To say, it's almost like it's a different, but it's almost like house insurance. Everybody buys house insurance. Usually, if any of you have a mortgage, they're going to require it. But if your house doesn't burn down, you never get your money back. Somebody else whose house does burn down gets it back. And so it's a pool. And so what the long-term effect of this and the sort of systematic effect is to take younger, healthier people out of the same pool with older, sicker people. And that will cause the rise in premiums exactly for the people who can probably afford it.
So I announced that talking about insurance is the most boring thing in the world, and what you launch into an explanation of insurance. Thanks, Steve. I want to talk a little bit about pre-existing conditions here.
I want to point out, to me, the most outrageous statements made during this whole, short deliberation of Trump Care, in which most of the Republicans never even read and even admit that they did.
Yeah, they kept asking as they were walking out, did you read it? Did you read it? And nobody answered.
But one of the most outrageous statements that was repeated by a number of Republicans was that people who use insurance, who need it most, have pre-existing conditions and ailments that are expensive, they should pay more than people who are healthy.
Because so
the
it's
whole
bad
concept
lifestyle.
Of our country, where all men were created equal, has been totally abandoned by the Republican Party.
The argument is that if you're sick, it's because of your lifestyle, which is sometimes true. Mm-hmm. If you smoke, you have a higher chance of getting lung cancer. But they want to take everybody who makes any kind of mistake or who's unlucky, because a lot of people or some people smoke their whole lives and never get lung cancer or emphysema or something like that. The logic of it is just astonishing.
My head's going to explode. That's such crap. There are lots and lots and lots of sick people that didn't cause their own illness, for God's sakes. Fine, you can find people that lifestyle made lifestyle choices that cause. I want to talk about pre-existing the MacArthur Amendment. Tom MacArthur, Republican from New Jersey, added an amendment that would allow states to obtain a waiver from the Health and Human Services Department so they could charge customers with pre-existing conditions more than other people. If Health and Human Services didn't respond to a state's waiver request within 60 days, the requested change would automatically go into effect. Some concerned about that MacArthur Amendment would have on longstanding mental conditions. GOP reps from Michigan and Missouri crafted Wednesday. So they said, okay, we're going to throw in $8 billion for these to pay for the increased premiums and the out-of-pocket costs of people with pre-existing conditions. That money would be spread among whichever states decided to let insurers return to the practice of charging higher rates to certain customers. As a part of a waiver application to Health and Human Services, a state would be required to include a risk-sharing plan either recreating a so-called high-risk pool, which many states tried before the ACA, or designing a subsidy program residents. So that's one of the ways they're going to try to cover everybody's pre-existing condition with $8 billion.
The other thing I would think...
That is expected to cost $200 billion.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I would think the other thing is that legislation is filled with small rules that people may not focus on. Under the Affordable Care Act, if you're an older person, the insurance companies can only charge you three times as much as they charge younger people in their 20s. Under the new Trump Care program, they can charge you five times as much. There are dozens of these small changes which are going to, you know, they will benefit high-income people. They will benefit young people, but they will be very, very bad for everybody else. The poor, older Americans, people with pre-existing conditions are all going to be in trouble under this new legislation. It's so bad that many of the Republican senators have said that they won't even consider it as a basis for reforming them. It's not even an attempt to reform Affordable Care Act, is it? I mean, it's really just coming up with something so they say they can try to. It's not even a legitimate attempt, right?
What they did, they dealt with the medical things, and that's what they passed on to the Senate. And that's going to make it easier for the Senate to pass. And don't forget, I mean, this is America, so we still have to go through the Senate, and the president has to sign this before it becomes law. So what we're talking about here is just a proposal from the wackos, from the wacko Republicans in the House of Representatives. So we'll keep some perspective here. Now, what is the Senate going to do with this? Headlines this morning are already, Trump is twisting arms at the Senate to try to get. Now, I don't believe, I like not to believe, and please call in or tell me, Gary, we have the sage on the line. Can Trump twist enough arms to get the Senate to pass this bill that kills Americans?
Well, my fear is that I don't think he can get them to pass it as it stands. But my fear is this bill is so bad that the Senate can come in. You know, they claim that they're going to just throw it out and start fresh.
Uh-huh.
But my belief is that they'll come in and tinker with this and make a few changes that are better. But and then tell everybody we solved all the problems and so it's now perfect. And, you know, we'll end up with a horrible, horrible health care system.
I think that's what happened in the House, Gary, is that the Freedom Caucus, the really far right wing guys, and Gosar, who's your representative or was when you lived in Arizona, forced the bill to be so bad that when the more moderate Republicans or regular conservative Republicans moved it to improve it, it's still terrible. And that's what you right. think will happen in the Senate.
Exactly. And I want to point out something I think gets lost in all of this with the effect on people with pre-existing conditions and so on, is that really this affects everyone. Because if you are healthy and you don't need to go to the hospital or you don't need, you know, extraordinary care, you're still going to end up paying for it because the people who will, you know, be left out and won't have insurance and will have, you know, acute problems, they'll have to go to the hospital. The hospitals are mandated in the ER to cover them. The hospitals will then, you know, suffer large losses, which their only choice is going to be to pass that along to everyone else who has insurance in higher premiums. It's what was going on before the ACA, and the ACA slowed the cost growth of healthcare, you know, fairly dramatically. This is going to not only just put it back to where it was before the ACA, it's going to make it 10 times worse.
Yeah, that's so you guys think
you're not going to be affected, you're mistaken.
Well, that's it. Guys keep talking about if you're healthy. Healthy people need health care. You know, everybody needs health care. It's not only sick people that need health care. And Obamacare recognized that. And Steve's whole discussion of the insurance, the way insurance works, recognizes that. Healthy people need health care. And as you say, Gary, this is going to affect everyone, whether you're, quote-unquote, healthy or not. I want to say here this morning, before we do anything else, we want to say hello and thank you to our friends at El Portal, the wonderful boutique hotel over there.
Great place.
Great place. Great breakfast. Steve Segner and the crew over there will hook you up, as they say. So thank you for support of Democratic Perspective. Democrats of the Red Rocks, they probably have some great speaker this month. And as they always do, breakfast third Thursday at Old Sedona Bar and Grill. They please find out more about the Democrats of the Red Rocks speaker and all of their programs on their website. And go ahead.
I guess the sum of it is that we have a plan that what happened is layers and layers of complexity and ifs and buts and wins and choices by state have been added onto a plan to make it less visible what it's actually doing. It's cutting health care for the American people. But the flim-flam on this bill is the highest we've ever seen. I mean, for a guy to go in, Tom Price to go in and say, you know, we're cutting $800 million, but everything is going to be better because we have some magic savings, is utterly ridiculous. And as long as people believe this stuff and they listen to the Fox Newses and to the Trump's lies, I just don't know what happened. Because, you know, Trump ran on a plan of health coverage for everybody. And I guess the Republican plan is it is possible somehow or other to get some health coverage, but it doesn't extend to everybody. And it's what it is basically is another large or medium size, in this case, tax cut on the wealthy. That's the bottom line of this whole thing. It cuts taxes. It's going to add to the deficit. It's going to throw people off of insurance. It's going to make it more difficult for them. It's going to raise the difference between different states do, make the country less unified. What's the upside?
I'd like to point out the absurdity just on the surface of what the impact on Medicaid is. Medicaid is the nation's largest health care program. It covers 74 million people. 60% of its spending is for the elderly and disabled. The feds pay, you know, here's where it really gets absurd. The feds pay 57% of the cost, with the states paying the rest. Now, how are you going to provide health care for the 74 million people when you cut $880 billion out of the 57% that the feds cost and expect the states to pick up the rest? The states, most of the red states, don't even want to, you know, have Medicaid to begin with.
So the estimate is 14 million people.
The facts on that are so absurd.
14 million people will lose coverage. We don't have the budget calculations yet, because the bill was passed before they could be calculated, not an accident, of course. But that's the guess. 14 million people will lose coverage. The people in the high-risk pool are not going to be able to afford the coverage that they're going to be asked to pay. It's going to be, say, $12,000, $13,000 a year on some of those folks. So that's the bottom line. We're still waiting for the economists to look at the implications, but this may have implications for the next 20 years. In terms of the deficit, it may add to the deficit for 20 years. So we have to get in to these calculations, because there's a series of arcane rules about how you can pass something in the Senate with 51%. And if it's going to increase the deficit after 10-year period, then you have to have a much larger number of well, let's put it this way, the filibuster comes into effect.
The USA Today has, like I said, a great Q&A comparison, and there's charts coming out now all over the Internet with comparisons. However, I'm not sure how much time I would spend worrying about this in some ways, because we're going to see what the Senate's going to do. Some people believe that, as we talked about here this morning, the budgetary stuff is going to pass, even if the Republican Senate, even on a party line vote, what the House Republicans did, including the budgetary stuff in the piecemeal form that they did, the Senate could pass that on a strictly party line vote. The 52 Republicans in the Senate could pass the budgetary stuff and still leave the rest of Obamacare in place, believe it or not. So this is when it gets really crazy, folks. What mattered most was not your health care to the Republicans, was not anything else. What mattered most is exactly what these two gentlemen were talking about, was cutting taxes. So that could pass, leave the rest of Obamacare in this crippled form, but still have the budget changes that they want. That could pass the Senate without much problem because it's filibuster-proof. If those 52 Republicans get on board,
this is a really complex issue. And we're just looking at it now, and the data is not completely in, so we don't know about a lot of things. The people who analyze these things, economists and statisticians and stuff, are still looking at the plan. It's that new. The information is not going to be good. It's going to follow the pattern of tax cuts on the very wealthy and less good insurance for everybody else who's been covered by the Affordable Care Act. I mean, I think I would disagree with Mike in some ways, but I think he's fundamentally right. In one way, it's pretty darn simple. The way they've done it has made it look extremely complex. And of course, you know, we can go into great detail, and maybe in the future will, about exactly how all this stuff works. But it is an extremely tricky bill. Gary, you have some last words before we silence you?
Well, I would just urge everybody to contact the senators. You know, I love the response that we've seen even larger crowds at town hall meetings, you know, this time around this year than we saw in 2010. So much so that the Republicans are avoiding the town halls, they're avoiding their constituents entirely. My representative here, I tried to contact him through his website, and it won't even take any responses.
We do want to encourage you to join the Paul Ryan postcard campaign. That's, you can find the address, and if I can bring it up here real quick, I will.
You've got 1 minute.
You can join the Paul. You can find it all over the Internet. Send Paul Ryan a postcard because he's shut off his phone. There's no way to contact him. He is so tired of hearing from the people he represents, the people that pay his $264,000 salary, the people that pay all his staff and his benefits, the people that pay the health insurance for his family. He doesn't want to hear from you. So the only way, what's going on right now, is a nationwide movement to send Paul Ryan a postcard to his home in whatever state it's
Wisconsin.
In.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, thank you. So please find that address on the Internet and send Paul Ryan a nice postcard. Listen, this show and all our shows are on VVID.org. Please listen. You can also find us on TuneIn Radio. Please find Democratic Perspective on VVID.org. Thanks, folks. See you next week.
been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news and our Saturday replay after the noon news right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.